This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. No man, diamonds on my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of sun. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign.
Welcome to episode 266 of Fourth and John. I am Yale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Prime in the building. We're talking the NFL QB carousel and offseason news. Man, big news in the NFL world. I mean, this week, the last couple of days has been exciting for me as an NFL geek. Just all the breaking news. I've been like watching the phone, and you're expecting some stories. You know, Aaron Rodgers falls in place in Green Bay, so that sets the trend for the next news to fall. We get Russell Wilson traded to the Denver Broncos, which we'll get into that. But then we get news. I mean, if any crazy people out there, you get news and you see you look at your phone and you're like, okay.
Why?
I mean, our boy Carson the Savior, who helped us get a Super Bowl, let's not forget that.
I forgot.
Traded to in the division. He is back. He is back, folks. So, I mean, obviously, there's going to be a certain, you know, people are kind of torn. One of our own guys in this room has Carson Wentz on the wall. So he's going to have to make a tough decision. But overall, I mean, the timeline's been crazy. I've been excited to see how people are reacting. The memes are kind of crazy, but we did find an image that could happen. that's what it could be.
You got the gloves.
got the gloves, and you know, Hurts is still going to pick them up. So how are you guys feeling?
Dude, like you said, this has been an eventful week between the Russ news. The quarterbacks have been shipped all over the country. But the biggest one, obviously, is the one that's close to our hearts right here. It's the Carson Wentz news. And just to think about the roller coaster ride that Carson Wentz's career has been, and it's been mostly for the past 2 years, been on the downslope. It's crazy to think about, man. To think that we're going to be going up against him in Washington we're going to be playing Washington two times a year now. Carson Wentz is the first quarterback in Commanders history. This is just wild, man. I mean, I am a guy that I really do like Ron Rivera, even though he's a head coach in our division. I respect the hell out of Ron Rivera. I think he's a good head coach. But Washington is one of those franchises that just seems cursed. It seems like they just can't find their way out of the basement. And bringing in a guy like Carson Wentz, who has the problems that he's had throughout his career, not just physically, but mentally, I'm not sure if this is going to be the thing that turns him around. I have all the respect for Ron Rivera in the world, but I'm not sure that he can get it done, considering we were all convinced that Frank Reich was the key piece to Carson Wentz's success, and that blew up after a year. I mean, it just doesn't – he didn't improve as a player, and the trade reflects that, considering that we got a higher value than Indy did.
Holy shit, man. I mean, like the week started off with the whole Aaron Rodgers news. I'm gonna be one to tell you, I didn't expect that much money. But he definitely he deserved it. I give him props. And then it all started from there. Today's news was wild, man. Getting the breaking news about Carson is like, holy shit, I can't believe this is happening. At the end of the day, we're getting the man where he started to come right back and throw his passes again. We're going to, you know what I mean? Whoever thought Carson was going to come back into the division and throw passes to us again, because that defense is coming for that ass. Two games? Oh, yeah, they're going to be seeing him. So it was great. It was great to hear. So I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, like you mentioned in the beginning of the show, Gary, yeah, he's up on the ceiling. It's official, man. He's going to be coming down.
Oh,
yeah, man. You're playing for the rival. Yeah, I got to treat you like I treated everybody else. T.O., you know what I mean? All those guys, like when they Donovan, when he went to Washington. That, yeah. Sorry, bro.
I will say that. This is great for the rivalry, considering the fact that I kind of, if you're looking at the rest of the division, I pin Washington as the third dog there, as far as like, I obviously Cowboys are my number one rival. With the Giants being right up 95, their Super Bowl success in recent years, they're up there as well. But I mean, Washington has been kind of a deadbeat franchise. And, you know, when you can't really compete year after year, the rivalry loses its juice. But to bring in a guy like Carson, I think we just reignited a flame.
You know, I when I was thinking about this situation, I was like, I always think in like music lyrics. I was trying to find a song that kind of like spoke to like.
I did not see you picking this song, by the way.
Come on, man. Like, if you were Gears of War head, like I used to be back in the day, but it's called Mad World. It says, all around me are familiar faces, worn out places. Worn out faces, bright and early song, for bro. The daily races, going nowhere. The tears are filling up their glasses. No expression. Hide my head. I want to drown my sorrow. No tomorrow. I find it kind of funny. I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm going to change the word. The dreams in which I'm hunting are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you. I find it hard to take when people run in circles. It's a very, very mad world. And it's, bro.
I mean, Carson runs in circles in the pocket all the time.
Yeah, man.
I mean, those lyrics are pretty spot on. I feel like Carson's going to end up in the comments section asking for a link.
I mean, well, we all remember that play that he threw. He was running around, you know, getting it, you know,
to be more specific,
eluding defenders. And he throws it to Nelson Aguilar for a touchdown, which I was there and the place erupted. But I did find this tweet. This is kind of like a Washington fan, a Colts fan, and an Eagles fan go to arrive in a bar. And this is the conversation. Look at this tweet here. Washington fan here. Why did you guys give up on Wentz so quickly? Colts fan. He never takes the easy dump offs. He passes it into triple coverage before checking down to JT. We know who that is. He's the most volatile quarterback I've ever watched. Eagle fans checking in here. As an Eagles fan, we tried to tell y'all.
Thanks for the first, though. Appreciate the first.
Isn't that kind of wild looking at that conversation?
Wild. Do you think that wild. The reason that Jim Irsay was so adamantly against Carson Wentz ever since the end of the season is the feeling that he truly realized it clicked in his mind that he was fleeced in that trade. Do you think that that is partial to the reason as to why he was so upset?
Who, Irsay?
Yeah.
I just think he rubbed people the wrong way. And I think when you're messing with the GM's, I mean, the owner's money, in which, you know, he's like, get the vaccine. So you don't have to miss any games. And I get it. Everyone has their choice. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he wasn't really prepared, and they'll talk about the Colts defense, but it.
And he ended up missing a game in a crucial part of the season.
Where he wasn't prepared. So yeah. Here, they had a 97% chance to make the playoffs. 97% chance. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about Irsay and his money. You're messing with the man's money. There's nothing funny about that.
And how about the poetic justice of now, if you look down at Jacksonville, when Carson has to go play him, he's going up against Doug Peterson. Time is just a flat circle, man. Next time he plays Jacksonville, he'll be playing his old head coach.
Yeah. Shout out to Marianne Johnson, but you know this is not Marianne Johnson.
They gave you YouTube in jail?
He might be letting us know that they're in jail, yeah, on Facebook and everything else.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, I just mean that first news dropped, and I think the next line of news, I mean, this is the newest news, but I mean, if you're talking about what just happened yesterday with Russell, you know, Russell Wilson, you know, he's a Denver Bronco, but in reality, I mean, something we have to talk about is your GM Howie Roseman. He put in an offer. He put in an offer, like, for all these people that we talk about, who are like, you know, like, we've talked about this on the show and just being like, oh, everyone's trying to give up on, like, our own GM who said you were taking Howie's words as like Bible, like, just a week later and he's out here putting in offers. So if what does that tell you? How he feels? Does he feel Hurts is not the guy?
You mean to tell me the same guy that said losing Carson Wentz would be like losing my finger and then trading Carson like the following week
might be
a little bit suspect when he commits to a quarterback?
You didn't take him serious?
It's exactly what you need to say, and it's exactly what you need to do. I mean, Howie can't just come out here and be a Jimmy or say and say, you know, F this guy. I don't want him on my team anymore. That drops his value. That's not good for the value of your trade. If you just look at like the fact that Russell Wilson kind of denied he blocked that from even happening. He said that he wasn't going to come to Philadelphia. That part kind of stung. I'm not going to lie, because I think that Russell Wilson would have been a good fit here. I think Russell Wilson's a very good quarterback and he's the type of guy that makes you a contender. As for Howie Roseman, I don't blame him at all for trying to improve the quarterback position. That's exactly what he should be doing with every position. Just because the fan base has gotten behind Jalen Hurts and they think he's swagged out and all these different things doesn't mean that he's cemented himself as the franchise quarterback yet. I was talking with Gail earlier and I've brought this up on previous shows. And last year we talked all year about how this was an evaluation year for Jalen Hurts. And at the end of the year, there's the end of the year evaluation. And my takeaway was, I still don't know what we have. I still don't know if we have a quarterback. And then that clicks in my mind that means that I know exactly what we have. If I'm unsure after seeing him for a full year, then I know what the answer is. I know that we have to improve the position. So
but this shouldn't be new to anybody. I mean, as much as we haven't really tried to pinpoint it for the last couple of weeks that we've been talking on the show, everybody knows this is the outcome when it's at this time of the season. So you can't be surprised if Howie's going to go ahead and pull the trigger. You know, I mean, you're right, Evan. I mean, like, this is just Howie's MO. This is what he does. Mm-hmm. He's going to always definitely look at what's best for the team. He's going to go ahead and throw lines out there like, hey, Jalen Hurts is our future, just like he did with Carson. You know, I mean, I'm not going to go ahead and trade Carson, because if I'm trading Carson, it's like the comment you made. And then here the following week, he trades the man. Mm-hmm. So you can't expect. You cannot expect Howie to not, you know, go ahead and make these crazy moves. A lot of people were upset because of the fact that Russell got picked up by Denver. Hey, it is what it is. I mean, look, I'd be one to tell you that I was ready for that to be made as well. But Denver, what they offered for him yesterday, I'd be damned if we offered that, man, because we would have definitely been getting, you know, set back had that went down. So I'm glad that didn't happen on our behalf.
Yeah, the Broncos, you know, they gave Seattle – Two ones, two twos,
a five.
I think no advance.
It was a good trade for both teams, if I'm being real.
Drew Lock as well.
I know it was a lot to give up, but if you're looking at Seattle, that's ultimately looking to rebuild, they're going to need all of those pieces.
No, by all means, for sure, Seattle needed that. And hey, listen, Seattle's not done. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you got the fact that they got rid of Bobby Wagner, so that opened up some cap space. Mm-hmm. And I know that wide receiver is going to be a disgruntled wide receiver, because you're talking about Locke coming in there. Who's Locke? I mean,
and it's a money-making year for DK. He's like, yo, I'm on my last year. I need to make some money, put up some numbers. So it's interesting. Now, Ivan had a comment here. He said, why do y'all think he wouldn't want to come here versus Denver? Real talk.
I didn't really pay attention to that. He didn't want to come here shit. That was just hearsay. But I think Russell would have been a great fit. I think he would have been fine being here in Philly. The fact that he was saying, or people were saying, that he didn't want to be here in Philly, there was even rumor that he didn't even want to come to the East at all. But if you really think about it, all the teams that he started naming was in the East. So, I mean, come on, like, which is it? So I wasn't definitely paying no mind to that shit.
He had to waive his trade clause, and like, they're going to get offers. So I think our offer was probably not as good as it wasn't as good as Washington. Washington was 3 firsts. We were trying to do our own little mix, you know, throwing some players, but it wasn't enough.
I mean, honestly, and it doesn't even matter too, because I mean, if Russ denied it, it doesn't even matter what the stipulations of the trade would have been. But as for like personality wise, and this is just total speculation, obviously, but I just, you know, Russell Wilson is a very nice guy. He's a good leader. As far as like the hard nose, ruggedness, Philadelphian blue collar style, if you're looking at Philadelphia from the outside in, and he's never been a resident of Philadelphia, all he's done is come here as an away team opponent, and he sees what goes on, I can understand how it could be a little intimidating. But you know, I think Philadelphia is a very special kind of city that takes a very special kind of person to thrive in.
You talk about special people with issues out there in the world, NFL world. And it's a topic that we've only probably brought up on the show a couple times. And because I don't know if you guys remember when we talked about some stuff that we were hearing down
at the Senior Bowl,
mm-hmm. And kind of hearing that, you know, the Eagles put in, you know, they were doing their investigative work, and you saw Aaron Wilson post that 2 days ago that the Eagles were in fact sending their investigative team, shout out to Dom, probably putting in work down there. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's a possibility of a trade being on the table. So I mean, if you talk about these offers that were out here for Wilson, when people are saying there's no trades out there, there's offers out there. So if this offer is real, and if they're waiting, we know on Friday,
yep.
There's the hearing. They're going to have the hearing. I heard he will be pleading the fifth.
Yeah, because they weren't able to get the civil case. The civil case is first, right?
Yeah, so it's going to be a weird scene out here, because, I mean, Eagle fans, you know, we all feel a certain way. You know, we saw, and people don't compare the Vic thing, but I'm just saying on a scale of, like, controversial bringing in someone who's coming in from a, you know, controversial situation, bringing in Watson would have people feeling a certain way. Like, I know Evan was very adamant about how he felt.
Still am.
Would not.
I mean, like, listen, ultimately I'm an Eagles fan through and through. If Watson came here, that's not the end of my Eagles fandom. That's not what I'm saying. I don't want Watson here. I just look at the facts of the situation. There's 22 different people that have filed a complaint against this man. That to me it seems very unlikely that something didn't happen. And even if all this does get settled and people get paid off, morally, I still think he's corrupt, and I don't want a morally corrupt person on my team. I don't want to root for a morally corrupt player. That's just where I stand on the situation. But like I said, I mean, if Watson comes here, I'm still an Eagles fan. I'm just disappointed in the move.
he's entitled to his opinion, man. I mean, it's gonna be a rough situation. I mean, It definitely is. If it does go down, I mean, you're gonna have a lot of disgruntled people. It might take time before people get over it, or you know, people might not get over it. I know I said tread carefully, you know, bringing up the whole Vic situation, but look, man, it's the truth. Like, we brought that man in. That was a surprising pickup. I remember clearly as if it was yesterday. I'm in PR. I got the news. People are calling me. Yo, you guys got Vic. I'm like, hell no. Yeah, you guys got Vic. And, you know, it took some time. But, hey, look, it paid off. Got over the situation. And I supported the dude. I don't know what the situation is going to be like with Watson because it's a totally different situation. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure how accurate the situation is. I mean, that's the only thing I could just say to Evan. I don't think we really know, but I agree. I mean, if it's really out there, that's a tough one. That's a tough one to kind of like support on a weekly basis. So,
and you remember when I heard something, I immediately hit y'all up.
Yeah, no, you
did. I was like, yo, this is wild. I just heard
what was my reaction?
You like, he was that. And the funny thing is, it's like, okay, you know, obviously, you don't have to have a blue check mark to hear stuff. We all hear stuff. Mm-hmm. We're out here putting in work, listening. I'm always listening, but I'm not always on the timeline. Like, boom, breaking news. Yeah. But it is what it is. So, you know, obviously, if you've been paying attention, the timeline's been full of nuggets. So, you know, a guy, Joe Banner, who is very close to Howie Roseman and Lurie, he knows the Eagles' psyche a little bit well. He was the GM at one time. Has a new brand, the 33rd team. He writes, Deshaun Watson is most likely to land with this team. Talking about the Eagles being the most likely that Deshaun would land. Mm-hmm. Now in the article,
a lot of love for Banner in the chat right now.
Lots.
Lots. Actually it disappeared on me.
Oh,
look at that. What do you know?
It disappeared. So this is actually what Banner's his old version said. Okay, the old version of his article reads, if I can bring it up here. The Eagles' effusiveness and the degree of their enthusiasm about Hurts at the combine indicates that they're trying to prepare for him being traded to maximize his value. If they can get Watson for Hurts, a first this year and a first next year, it could go down as one of the best trades in NFL history. They'd be getting a top five to top seven QB for $34 million. If he were up for an extension right now, he'd get at least $45 to $47 million. I can't think of an example of a player of this caliber being traded. So now enter the new version, because they had to take down the article. So, you know, like, why are they taking down the article? Did someone call and say, hey, could you take that down? Because it's got the kind of, those are the numbers that that's what I heard. So here it is. Banner's writing it. I'm like, oh shit, that's what I heard. So here's the new version. The Eagles' effusiveness and the degree of their enthusiasm about Hurts at the combine could be an indicator that the team is trying to maximize the trade value of the player. I do not believe the Eagles would trade Hurts under the other circumstances unless it was for a high-quality QB. With Watson, they'd be getting a top five to top seven QB for the $34 million. If he were up for an extension right now, he'd get at least $45 to $47 million. I can't think of an example of a player of this caliber being traded. Is that weird to you?
It's not weird, Evan. It's not acceptable.
I think it's a possibility. I mean, the fact that he's going back and changing articles is definitely something that adds a little bit of fuel to the fire. I don't know, though. I feel like we've been hearing rumors about this, and I'm pretty sure that we're probably not the only team that's sniffing around the whole Watson situation as well.
No, absolutely. There's a lot of teams out there looking for a quarterback. And, you know, here somebody could just slide right in and definitely make a bigger and better offer. You know what I mean? I just don't want to be known as making the stupid offer like Washington did today, or like, you know, Denver and Seattle did yesterday. That's just too much. We're never, I don't see us. I'm not saying I don't see us, but it's going to be a long time till we ever get to the point that we're at right now for this year. The lines are pretty much getting set for us to go ahead and have one of the best drafts in history, in Eagles history.
So hear me out with this. Like, this is just another avenue that I've recently been thinking about. And I've told you that I am not completely convinced that Jalen Hurts can be the franchise quarterback for us. But that doesn't mean that I'm against bringing back Hurts for next season, whether that be for a bridge or whatever. If the Eagles decided that there was a quarterback in this draft that they wanted to draft and they wanted to bring him in, even draft him in the first round, and you bring him in for an open competition to with Hurts, you have guys on very small deals, on rookie deals, competing against each other, and then you get the best of whoever comes out of that competition. I wouldn't be opposed to an avenue like that, and then you get to retain all of that other draft capital.
Yeah, I mean, the whole bridge idea, like, again, like, if they believe in him to develop, obviously they already put in an offer, so they're not the 100 emoji. They're about, like, you know, probably 50% emoji on Jalen. So if they believe that he can get them in the dance, but not actually, you know, winning the dance, like I feel like they feel like they can get into playoffs. But I think if you keep Jalen and you develop around him, bring in some talent around him and a better defense, I think you could start cooking with something. Mm-hmm. Like you got to have a better defense out here, and you got to have more playmakers for him.
And I don't think it's so much that they don't believe him, that he can't be developed. I just don't think that's what they want right now. They don't want to spend time on developing him. They want a quarterback that's ready to go now. But that's me.
But I recognize that, and I think that's also what's happening. But the way that I'm looking at it is, like, is there any guy on this team that you're like, all right, well, this is his window with him, and we have to make this happen quick? I don't think we're one player away from being a contender. I think that we have a lot of work to do, and therefore that's why I would like this kind of bridge approach where we're slowly building assets along the way instead of trying to hit a home run and get a really good guy when ultimately it won't work out.
Like my theory is that, like, the whole one QB, like, I feel like if it's one player that you need to put you in contention for, like, a chip, it's the quarterback. So if that's that one player, what one player in that QB is, like, playing elite and efficient and sound, that's the recipe for success. So I feel like if you look at the way the NFC East, that the NFC is set up, think about the players that were, you know, Aaron Rodgers off the top of your head, Matthew Stafford, and if you're, what, Dak? Are we afraid of Dak?
No.
I mean, yeah. Well, who else? Like, so you think about this window for the NFC.
Yeah.
Because the AFC is going to take each other out. I mean, you have an opportunity to.
Yeah, but you won't be, like, there's other teams that are in a similar position as us that are saying the same exact thing. We need to separate ourselves from the pack. Like, we can't just say that, oh, well, the NFC is wide open right now, so we have to make it this year. We have to show up to the dance with an actual dance partner.
Yeah, I feel like they feel like if they got a Watson, they'd be in playing with cooking with some gas.
Yeah, but then we still have the same defensive issues because we'd have to give up a boatload to get them. And then we're also what?
But as a passing offense, we went from here to here.
But look at the Super Bowl this past year. I mean, don't you think that, like, look at how electric the Bengals were this whole year? The offense wasn't the problem. Obviously, the offensive line is a problem for them. But we have a good offensive line. The defense is what they needed, man. They needed to be able to stop that Rams offense in order to win that game. And, you know, a high volume, you know, high scoring offense is great. But ultimately, defense wins championships, man.
Yeah, I'm like Prime said, this is probably the best opportunity. This could be like the best chance, especially from being a draft head and a geek. you get three first round picks. That this kind of stuff happens in Madden, like where you like make these Bobo trades to get you three. This is real life. So I mean,
and not only that though. I mean, like the last couple days or a couple hours, shit today. Some key free agents opened up. So, I mean, like, you could go out there and get a steal in free agency, not touch the draft, not worrying about trading any of the draft picks for a key player. But you got some free agents. Let's talk about the linebacker position, or we could wait to talk about it later. We could hit on that. But, I mean,
talk about Hicks, Wagner.
Yeah, we got Hicks, Wagner. You could go ahead and grab one of those guys, bring that veteran into the locker room. You know what I mean? And you could still get a steal in the draft and go get one of those rookie linebackers, either – late first, early second. I mean, that one pick that we have in the second, I don't know. But it's still, like I said, everything's getting lined up perfectly for us to go ahead and definitely focus on that defense. And, Evan, I mean, it's the truth. You said it. The defense is key, and that's what I really want to focus. Me, as a fan, I really want to focus on the defense so much this year.
Same. I dig it, man. Mr. Tone was talking about Wagner, but he's also talking about Metcalf. That's a common denominator on the timeline, talking about trading the 19th pick for Metcalf or sprinkling in a little Dillard or Rager, whatever you want it, or whatever mix you want, but bring in a Metcalf. That would be, again, we're talking about the big body target across the way from Devontae Smith. Interesting. I know, shout out to Birdman, he brought up the comment about Juju. And if you guys were listening on previous shows at the Senior Bowl, that's what we heard. We heard Juju. Yep. Now we see all the other check marks out here now talking about Juju. So like if you want to believe it now, you can believe it now. But it's out there now, and it's again, Juju is nothing. He's not like, it's not sexy. But we're talking about a veteran guy who can get
what is the Juju hate, man? Like, all I see is Juju hate all over the timeline. And like, it's just,
He's just not the sexy name. Like, Juju's like,
I get that he's not DK Metcalf, and he's not like,
I'm gonna tell you what they're saying. They're saying after AB left, Juju wasn't the same. Like, you know, he's not the same guy when he's got AB across the way. But
I also think that Roethlisberger wasn't the same guy either. I think that's a major factor.
There you go.
In that, I think that Juju is a young wide receiver that showed that he can be good. He had 1,300 yards his first or second year, and obviously it was with Antonio Brown on the other side. But that's literally our plan right now. I'm not saying Juju's wide receiver one, but if you can pair him up with Devontae, draft another wide receiver, maybe he's the second or third guy on. In your wide receiver core, what's wrong with that?
All right.
Breaking news, Marcus Williams is following Eagles players on IG. D. Morgan in the building. Todd says, I think the Eagles need to target Lenny Fournette and the Honey Badger. Fournette is another name that we heard. The same,
I named out both of those guys.
Same episode we talked about Juju. We also mentioned Fournette. That would be nice. I heard two-year deal, perhaps, maybe. That would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
That thunder and lightning. One more running back 1 year, Miles. Miles in front would be kind of nice. No?
That's got it. Facial.
You want to talk about not sexy. The name Miles Sanders is less sexy to me than Juju Smith-Schuster.
One more, man. I'm going with one more.
One more.
One more.
You ain't got to get married.
Yeah.
I'm married.
Come on, Evan. One more year.
Staying together for the kids right now.
Come on, Evan. One more year.
How many runs has he broke?
How many bones is he?
70. Yeah. Blue Mini has breaking news. It says in his current Madden season, Wentz got benched. Kaepernick. Okay.
Paying Madden.
Hey, listen. What's crazy about it, Meany, is that in mines, Hurts got benched for Kaepernick. So
now, Jordan says, should we go get Hicks back on the team? I support
yeah.
it.
Hell yeah!
That's right. Tim is talking about Honey Badger about to get the money. Hey, again, we're looking for safeties, versatile. Adam talks about Justin Reed, which would be a great addition, says Adam. And I agree. And the last time you wanted to bring a Reed in the house, you probably couldn't bring a Justin Reed in when we had Malcolm Jenkins in here because him and Eric Reed were beefing. There's no Malcolm here in the middle. Get it?
I see what you did.
Levels. Justin Reed would be a great addition for sure. Tim says, does Miles make it past the draft weekend?
I think he's an asset. I'm just saying that's a throw in guy right there.
I heard, Lil Boo Boo, Lil Care Bear, the Ooh. Giant killer.
Oh, got Scott.
Yeah, my brain fried, so I just started making up.
How about we start it off with that one?
I was trying to come up with names that you guys would understand what I'm talking about.
Little Boo Boo. I don't think we ever called him Little Boo Boo.
Yeah, you lost me with the Little Boo Boo.
I used to call him the Care Bear, the human.
What the hell is even that?
I heard they might be letting him loose.
The Giants, right?
They might not. No.
I mean, that's
yeah,
like,
little Boo Boo.
That's like that's kind of like the Greg Ward thing with me. I mean, love the guy for what he did while he was here, but it's not a crucial part of our team. I mean, it's like it's Corey Clement essentially.
Oh,
what?
Not
what
that guy. Not that guy.
He's better than that.
He is
a rookie. Corey Clement was on one.
That's kind of what I was referring
Boston
to.
Boston Scott lasted 3 years here. Corey Clement lasted how long?
After he got hurt, it was a wrap.
He was part of one of the most special plays in Eagles history.
I get it. Boston Scott was around there too. You know what I mean?
Man. Chris. He said, you're on fire, Chris. I mean, Evan. Chris said, Keith, you're on fire, Evan.
Calling him
Clement. How about that catch, though, in the Super Bowl? Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Go back and watch the catch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rock the baby. Still had control.
How about Scott with the catch against the Giants? Phenomenal.
I take them both, man. Like again, if you bring in a Fournette, we're cooking with gas.
Oh, listen, that's definitely an upgrade. Don't get me wrong. There's no even comparison there. Like
I need a big body, man.
Yeah, we've been missing
that ever since Blunt.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna take Fournette all day. You know what I mean? So there's no question there. But
he was also two comparisons
of Clement and Boston Scott. That's the only one out.
He was also valuable in the passing
game. Way better. They're both third string running backs. I mean, come on.
Darlene makes. I'm just saying, Scott. I think Scott is a versatile piece.
I think it's recency bias is what's going on.
Hey, but does Clement have a? Neck dance roll.
That's a good point. You know what? I'm wrong.
No. Darlene says, "Do not get rid of Boston." Yeah, I just think he's a utility guy. I mean, he's like the, he's the Shiv. You know what I'm saying?
No, he's definitely a versatile type of player for sure.
When you realize you've been stabbed 7 times, like you got stabbed with the Shiv. man, this the last couple of days has rejuvenated my love for football again. I needed probably a couple of days, I think.
It's just getting started, man. I mean, anything, you got tomorrow, you got the weekend.
Did you sleep at all this past week, by the way? Because I know we had the combine going on. We haven't really talked about that at all.
I watched about 60 hours of that.
Nice.
I actually watched the other night with the punters, Evan. I meant
no
to
way.
Hit you up. Yeah, hey,
you,
man.
You, oh. And
the punter 40s?
Yo,
the punter 40s, what they were running.
Yo, they were running. And
anyone sub 5?
Oh, what was the guy?
No, four. There's guys running 4.7s, dude.
What?
Wow. But the one dude had a leg. Oh my god, he was bombing these things. Mm. I can't remember his name, man. But I'm actually sitting there and I'm like, damn, I gotta hit Evan up for this shit. This is some entertaining shit right here.
Yeah, what? That's honestly something too. Like, what happened with Sitboss? That he at the beginning of the year versus how he finished out, there was a huge stark difference there, man. I mean, well, he was money.
I get it.
In the beginning of the year,
you're the one that said punters are people too. So
they are people.
So explain to us what the fuck happened.
Listen, man. Specialist kickers are people, but they're weird people because once they get in their own head, it could be all over. I'm not saying that's the case for Sitballs, but I'm just saying that streaks happen with those types of positions.
Punters, man. We talking about punters. Right now? Now, Adam's talking about Trayvon. Yo, talk about first of all, let's talk about how good this Georgia defense is. Mm. The fact that you have Jordan Davis, you talk about Trayvon Walker, you know, Wyatt at defensive tackle. You talk about the linebackers, Tindall, Nicobe Dean. You talk about Jermaine Johnson having to transfer to Florida State just to get extra snaps. How good is this Georgia defense, dude?
Insane.
Ridiculous. So, and then they have another dude coming back next year, that Carter, that's going to be, they say, even better than that. But, bro, I mean, I'm not even.
Those DTs are.
That defense, sick with it. But you talk about Jordan Davis, the winner. Uh-huh. Big body, his size.
And his 40 time, bro.
4.78?
Dude, what is he, like 340 pounds, something like that?
That was a freight train.
Let me be clear. Lane Johnson also ran a 4.7.
Yeah, at like, what, 40, yeah. 50 yeah. pounds?
Yeah, but okay, all right. Lane's an offensive lineman. We're talking about a defensive lineman coming at you like that.
Jordan Davis, quick step. He did everything he had to do at the combine for me to be – I mean, I was – thinking about it, but like he came in shape. A guy who might been is a lot of people have been talking about, Treylon Burks from Arkansas. A lot of people are down on his 40. I mean, down on his 40, down on his overall combine performance. They're like, that athleticism didn't show up. And the fact that they're like, oh, he only put up 12 reps of 225. And I watched it. I was like, yo, I put that up. Like, me being a small-ass receiver, you're Treylon Burks, bro. I would expect at your size to put up at least 18, 19, 20, at least. And then people are, you know, even the Lance Zierlein of the world are now talking about, like, all right, we love his tape, but why didn't he look like he didn't work? Like, was he not
maybe
ready for the combine? Like, they just want to see
stomach bug or something, man. He wasn't himself that night.
Ran a 4.55 at the. That's not like, you know, how many wide receivers ran slow, and still had great, like Anquan Boldin, Keenan Allen, but they're just saying other things. Like, did you not prepare for, like, at your size, you should be putting up 12,
I mean,
225 for at least 18, 20, at least, not no 12.
Friend of the show, Jack Cavanaugh from Believe Lions. He put something out earlier where he was talking about Treylon Burks, and he actually shared a video of I believe it was week 3 of this past season. It was the top 5 fastest players of week 3. Treylon Burks is at the top of the list. So, I mean, you could talk about 4.55, but the man was running 22.6 miles an hour at game
speed. That's the zebra technology that they're using nowadays is really where it's at. Mm-hmm. You're talking how fast. Now, Adam says, Dustin. Shout out to Dustin. Give me all defense. He's going with the prime plan of attack. Give me all defense in rounds 1 and 2 and a vet wide receiver in free agency. So if I'm guesstimating, you're trying to go maybe cornerback, defensive end, defensive tackle or corner, or and then maybe safety in the second, maybe, or defensive end in the second, DT in the second. There's a defensive line is pretty deep.
I think that, and if you look at just the Eagles drafting history, just their tendencies that they tend to go in with, they value defensive linemen very highly. And so I'm almost chalking up the fact that one of those first-round picks, I think we're going to use two first-round picks. I think one of them is going to end up getting traded. But I think that of the two that we end up using, one of them will be either an edge rusher or a defensive tackle. You can almost chalk it up.
I would squeeze that linebacker in the second round.
Hey, Chad Muma. Balled the hell out, dude.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if we get him, like, he's on the roster, that is our guy.
Go watch the Talk the Prospect.
Yeah, I'm,
you want to learn more about him.
I'm making him some Wyoming cowboy Vans right now.
Nice.
Oh, word.
Shout out to Chad Moon. I'm like, where the hell you get Wyoming Cowboys gear?
Probably in Wyoming.
Yeah, I found some, by the way. But shout out to Chad Muma. He had a great day. But Adam also says Sauce Gardner. Mm. Yeah, a lot of people were up on Sauce. There's a lot of this. Stingley didn't get to perform. Obviously, he's dealing with something with an like a old injury or whatever. But the Stingley love has like the stock has like because you're now seeing him fall in mocks, but that's not real life. You know, it's not exactly real life, but
I remember years ago when Jeffrey Simmons was getting drafted, all the mocks had him in like the sixth round.
And it's like, because of all the off the field, I'm like, bro.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is that like, you know, the mock drafts aren't real life.
They showed some video of Stingley and Chase back in their LSU days, one on one.
Shout out to Dustin. Shout out to Dustin.
You didn't realize what?
Yeah. Fourth and John. Oh, Fourth and John heads, man. So Adam says, gotta wait to see pro days for Dean, Karloftis, and Stingley. N'Kobe Dean, everyone's talking about the field general linebacker out of Georgia, a guy who could, you know, a little bit undersized, but he's a heat sinking missile, heart of your defense. Karloftis out of Purdue, got a great story. Go check his story. This dude's been writing shit on his wall ever since he was a kid, talking about prove him wrong, all types of stuff. He really believes in a very confident kid. His father passed away at the age of 13. They were in Greece. They came back to the States, was learning English, learning football. Said he wanted to be an NFL player after just 1 year playing. And here he is. He said he wanted to get drafted in the first round. Karloftis, man, his story is crazy. You watch a story and you're like, bro, this kid's built different. His stock is going in mocks. He's getting drafted later and later, but he is landing with the Eagles in a lot of these mock drafts out here. And Stingley, we just talked about from LSU, who went up against Ja'Marr Chase in practice every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
That'll build you.
D. Morg is all about Sauce. Gets past Seattle at 9. I don't know, man. I'd love to get a young corner in here. Mm. Would y'all?
Yes,
that'd be nice.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, man. You just think about pairing him up with Slay, and that's could be for years to come.
Mr. Walker talking about Asamoah, the linebacker from Oklahoma, second round. Or
name's pretty close to Asamoah for me.
First, I thought he was like,
I didn't know where he was going with that one. Like, huh?
First, I was like,
is he gonna eat in the car, bro? Like,
we got talking about Nnamdi for, bro. And then I realized he's an Oklahoma.
Watching too much Prime videos.
now, Mark says take the most talented players available, draft the board. This is correct. Yep. This is the part of like everyone's talking about.
We're talking about how,
and the best part about having so many holes to fill is that's the perfect strategy for us to have right now.
But people are actually talking about moving up for. I like Prime's pronunciation of Ojabo, the Spanish version. Ojabo. I'm talking about like they're like some. Who is it? Was it John McMullen who had mentioned about the Eagles would move up for him. So you're talking about raw edge rusher versus if you brought in Jermaine Johnson, you talk about a guy who's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Ojabo, he's still raw, but he's still gifted. He ran a 4.6 with ease at his size. Even my brother, was like,
my Lotta was as raw as it gets, man. But at the same time, just to play devil's advocate with myself, I think Jeff Stoutland is the best positions coach we ever had. So him turning Jordan Mailata, a very raw prospect, into what he is, I'm not sure if we'll have the same success with Ojabo. But
yeah, we don't have any defensive line Yodas up in here.
Nope.
Kaleo says Lloyd or Sauce, but then again, maybe grab Hicks or Wagner. I mean, Hicks is the type of player that, you know, bring him in.
I would love to bring him in, man. I mean, and that's the shame of it, is that, like, when he was here and when he left, we kind of convinced ourselves that, you know, his injuries are the reason that we can't keep him here. The dude ended up leading the NFL the following year in tackles. I mean, he stayed healthy. I just think it was an unfortunate set of circumstances while he was here with his injuries, but I would love to have Hicks back. I think he's still a very high-level linebacker.
118 tackles last year, shit. Yeah. Why not? That's what we need in our lives.
Brian Heffron, Blue, a.k.a. Blue Mini. Has anyone ever hit on their mock draft?
I think that would be even harder than hitting on a perfect NCAA bracket, personally.
Bro, when I was at Roto-World, I got the most right. I got eight. I hit eight on eight picks. But the funny shit was I got the back end right. So I got like three in a row. Like it was Marcus. It was Denard. And then I had what was the big fat wide receiver that went to Panthers?
Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah, it was Kelvin Benjamin. Then I got Teddy Bridgewater to the Vikings. But it was it's so hard to get picks right. But if you figure out team fits, that's really really what you have to like. Mm-hmm. And then trying to figure out the mentals of, you know, because mock drafts are sometimes the mindset of the guy who's putting together the mock, and then if it's a mock that they're thinking how the team would draft.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Oh, now Todd says, I like Justin Ross and running back Haskins out of Michigan later. Ross has he had a neck, was it spine injury? He was a young, talented wideout when he was coming into college. And then I think he could be still if he's healthy. Justin Ross, Haskins out of Michigan. Very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we need to fill it out. Like I've been saying this whole time, I want a big body on the outside. So like a guy like Justin Ross, you're looking at 6'4". That's the type of big body I'm looking at, man.
And then this, but the second round, you got Pickens. You like Pickens could either go first or whatever. But again, if you're talking about Christian Watkins.
Mm-hmm. Watson. That's what I like.
He had a phenomenal Senior Bowl. Then he had a phenomenal combine.
I got to be honest, man. I like a lot of people are talking about how you can get him like in the day two or whatever. The way he's flying up the boards, I don't know, man. I think someone second. Might take a stab at him in the first round.
Oh, well, you talk about second. I think second. That's like if you'd have to be ballsy to go first with him.
I think he's got a lot of hype built around him right now, if I'm being real.
Well, I mean, think about the players that were drafted in the second, A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, D.K. Metcalf.
Okay. Those are all guys that should have went in the first, too.
Well, they're, you know, is when I think of Christian Watson, I'm like, is he those at that level? Like, I think back into the second, for middle of the second, if someone team falls in love with him, especially the other thing you don't see is the mentals, or you don't get to see the interviews or how these guys, some people are, you know, out here getting interviews with some of these players, but obviously the teams get the mentals and the physicals.
But just to say, like I agree, I understand what you're saying, and like guys like DK Metcalf went in the second round, but like also he's been in conversation for trades, and now his value is anywhere from the 10th overall pick to like 19. So his value now is a first rounder, and so that's what I'm saying about Christian Watson is like I understand that he could be like one of those guys, but if ultimately you think he's going to pan out and he's going to be elite, then don't let him slip away. We've let a guy like DK Metcalf slip away before, and now we're sitting here kicking ourselves about it.
Let's not do it again.
Well, the thing about Metcalf, it was his injury, so he had a neck injury, so like he would have went first. Like,
come on,
I'm telling you why he fell to the second.
I get it. I'm saying like he had one of the most historic combines of all time, and like even the fucking
which was crazy.
Nobody's out there that don't know anything about football. You look at what he did in the combine, like I don't know why you wouldn't take a shot at that guy. And then he just kept on falling. Like it's everybody's fault.
I was in shock. I'm like, bro, this is because I was like, yo, this is where you take him now. Like if you thought he had a the neck injury was an issue or whatever. Did he test out? Did it? Because obviously, the Eagles were saying that they medically red flagged him for something. Mm-hmm. So that's why. But I'm like, bruh, you see the body percent on that dude?
What the?
He had like what 4 or 5, and then people are like, that's not real. You can't have 5% body fat.
Yeah. Like, wasn't T.O. like down to like 3% at one point in his life or some shit?
Adam says, Gail, when do you think Tariq Woolen will get drafted? He ran blazing. Bro, this is another guy, a converted wide receiver. I was watching his wide receiver footage. Just as he was at the Senior Bowl, he shined, and then he came out at the combine, ran what was that, 4.28, 4.26, 7? At his size, bro, like, talk about big body athlete. Like, if you got a corner out there running like that fast, bro, that dude, I know those guys made some money, man.
What, at the combine?
Yeah, some of those guys made a lot of money, man.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
Now, Kaleo had asked about London from USC. Again, we had met with Lincoln Riley's assistant over at USC. Shout out to Michelle. She's an awesome person. She was down there scouting. She gave us the full rundown on London. He's a great kid, first of all. Highly productive, volume guy, 50-50 guy. I know people don't like him because he's from USC already, by the look of some faces.
I mean,
I'm not worried about that shit.
Because you know, some people are like, "Yeah, I'm done with USC guys," but bro, he's talented. He's been mocked to the Eagles a lot.
I don't want to write him off just because he's an SC guy, but I'd be lying to you if that isn't in the back of my mind. It is what it is. Just like if we were to go after a Washington cornerback, I'd be sitting there. I was like, oh, Sidney Jones.
You talk about other rookies that impact rookies last year. Everyone forgets Amon St. Brown.
St. Brown. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, he did. USC? Yeah.
Mr. Walker talks about J.C. Jackson getting released. Might get in release. You guys, interest?
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. That's, you know who that's a you know top of my list guy right there.
You know, I heard likes is high on J.C. Jackson.
Who's that?
Darius Slay.
Recruiting him? Is game, he been recruiting?
Game respects game, man.
I've been trying to. Yeah, Slay is the. First of all, Slay is he's amazing out there recruiting.
Yeah,
he's putting in work. Maybe he gets digs. Maybe.
What? Quandre Diggs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I would be more excited for J.C. Jackson, but yeah, I can see that happening.
D. Morgan, the building, says Pickens is nice in the second round. T. Higgins vibes for Pickens.
I'd be happy with that.
Zeke?
That's going to be a no for me, man.
I'm out on Zeke.
I can't do that. That's like, I mean, do you want an
Ewok? Do you want an Ewok?
05 BMW. You know what I mean?
It's Ewok.
He was good. He's not what he used to be. And I mean, the taste of rooting for Zeke, that's just going to be foul coming out of my mouth.
But, you know, at the same time, I hope Cowboys don't cut him. I hope they keep him because he's a bum. And, you know what I mean? He's just, it's a wrap for that dude.
I think they should move on to Pollard, honestly. Pollard's a good running back.
Pollard is a great running back. Got to give props for props, though.
I mean, Pollard, man, you're talking about a guy who, fifth round, coming in, making a big impact, and making people forget about Zeke.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to do.
Just like, it wasn't hard at all.
I know, what's his name? Mr. Walker talking about, bringing in, the recruiting by Slay. You guys think he grabs somebody?
No, I mean, it's not about him grabbing anybody, but he's out there putting the word. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure he's reaching out to people and spitting in their ear about coming to this organization. So, you know what I mean? Hey, props to Slay putting that in.
I mean, he's putting in work, man. He's on the phone. On the phone.
He found himself a second career once football.
Do you think this is him? Well, the phone for Russell Wilson just keeps on ringing and ringing. He doesn't want to listen to it.
he retweeted that one, but
what's he been focusing more on? Recruiting defensive players or offensive players?
I mean, he's a defensive player.
I get it, but
he has more of a pull on that end of the ball for sure.
Right. So I love where his head is at. Go get some defensive players.
We'll see, dude. We'll see.
Adam wants to know, since we were talking about running backs, and I mean, I obviously have my displeasure when we're talking about number 26. But so are you guys all good with Kenny G being a second running back going forward? Got to get a bruiser running back somewhere in the draft. I mean, Kenny, he showed good promise. I feel like we kind of just went away from him in the game plan towards the end of the year when he was doing well. That was something that kind of left me scratching my head.
Can he be running back too? I don't think he's on the verge of being like he's got RB3 vibes, but I think can he get there? Potentially. I think he still needs some work.
I think he's got more potential than Boston Scott.
I know you're a big fan of Kenny Walker, right?
I am a big fan of Kenny Walker.
That was your mysterious guy from Yo Kenny, bro.
Hey, Kenny Walker. Kenny Walker's doing that thing, man.
You know I've been telling you.
One year at Wake Forest, you know, all of a sudden he comes to Michigan State, and his first run rips off like a 75 yarder. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they were like, the Michigan State was like, they got his tape and they said, he's the 10 play guy. Cause all you need is 10 plays. If it takes me more than 10 plays, the coach was like, if it takes me more than 10 plays to show me what the player is, then we don't want him. I was like, after 10 plays, they were like, go get him.
Mm hmm.
And to apply that logic to what we were talking about earlier, he's doing 10 plays. I gave Hurts an entire season. Jesus Christ.
Whoa.
I mean, we did. That is funny. 10 plays. I'm thinking about the Sam Bradford preseason game versus the Steelers. We had 10 perfect throws, and we thought we were going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we won the Super Bowl, the preseason Super Bowl.
Shout out to Chris, who says he will be attending when we go out to eat. He would like to link up.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
He said Korean barbecue, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. See, I was waiting for Prime's reaction. but he said, didn't Kenny G score more than Sanders this past season?
I almost did.
Yeah, he's seven touchdowns. We all scored more touchdowns than Sanders because he had zero.
he said I almost did.
Yeah. All he had to do was cross the goal line once. I would have had more touchdowns than Sanders.
Wow. Yeah, but I mean, we're on that hour mark. Obviously, we're not talking about any food right now.
Thinking about it.
Yeah.
But any I know we're, you know, hopefully, you know, there's probably I feel like there's gonna be some breaking news coming up shortly.
I honestly forgot that some, you know, that the whole start of this free agency can start sooner than the 14th. I was over here just waiting patiently for the 14th, and then I just forgot that they can start communicating and verbally agreeing on stuff, but nothing can be committed until the 14th. So it felt good hearing some of that news. So once the Aaron Rodgers news broke, it was like, oh shit, football's here. Like, here we go. We're gonna get some bro, stuff. And like,
there's gonna be some more stuff.
Yeah, man.
Can you imagine? I know it was a comment earlier in here, but could you imagine if Carson said, F that, I'm not going playing Washington. He just retires,
man. Hey,
he's like, you know what? This football thing is.
I'm not sure if you got.
Why?
I'm gonna confess, I actually started watching some of the Hard Knocks during the season on how Carson's production was going and what he was doing. And listen, I was actually focusing more on like the families talking in the middle of the games as the players are playing. And they're definitely like a lot of concerns in them. And then like Carson's wife, you could see there was so much concern with her. So it's just like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a decision as a family decision, you know, a wife telling her husband, hey, listen, man, enough is enough. Maybe it's just
he's already gotten the bag, man. I mean, he's a guy with simple needs, came from the middle of nowhere. I mean, he's got what, almost $100 million? He could live off that.
You think he pulls Westbrook and shows up? He's like, look, you know, it's the family name. Yeah, I don't want you out here disrespecting. I got a family. I got my kids. Yeah. Don't be calling me no Westbrook.
Don't do that, man. Don't be talking about my name like that, man.
Obviously we're a Eagles podcast, but we have this weird parallel between Ben Simmons and, you know, Carson Wentz. They're in our divisions. So it's like the fact that the prodigal sons have returned.
The fact that, like, if I think about 2 years ago, what my thoughts were on the two of them versus what I think of them now, it's crazy.
360. But,
I mean, if I'm being real, when, you know, obviously I thought Carson Wentz was king of the city while he was here after we won the Super Bowl. How could you not? I mean, he had an MVP-like season. We won the Super Bowl, and then 2018, I was all for Carson Wentz. I 100% had his support. Same thing with Ben Simmons around that same time. I mean, Joel Embiid was injured all the time, and I honestly was thinking that this was more Ben's team than it was Joel's, just based off what his ceiling would be and his reliability as far as being able to stay healthy. But obviously, things have changed.
That's not the case anymore.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Mark about it. He's talking about memes. I was telling Ev, I was just like, I got all these Ben Simmons memes, and I was like, do I release them on Thursday? Oh, would I hold back?
No, we throw everything,
because I don't want to be brought up in a lawsuit.
If Ben's looking to get paid, dude. Oh my God! I've never.
Listen, I mean, all the attention is really on LA right now. It's not even so much on anybody else. It's all on LA.
I would love to just be like, Ben Simmons and Tyrese Maxey have the same agent. They're both for Clutch Sports Agency, and I'm just like so interested. I would love to be a fly on the wall at the Clutch Sports Agency, just like what they talk about. Like, it's got to be insane.
Fuck that guy! Can't wait till tomorrow. I'm booing from home.
But the fact it's like you said, Evan, like the fact that these guys who we thought would be like cornerstone pieces of like
for
Philadelphia sports. Yep. Like I was just like Joel Embiid holding down the fort, and I don't know who else is, but I just feel like it's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be real. Tomorrow.
I actually hope he cries. If Ben sheds a tear, I'll be happy.
Marvin, he's asking the million-dollar question: Hicks or Wagner?
I'm leaning Hicks based off of age, but the more I think about it, they're probably pretty similar in age.
Aren't they the same age?
Yeah, they're probably the same age. I'm still leaning Hicks. Bring him home.
I mean, do we put that kind of money into Wagner?
It's a lot. It's a lot of money. He's a future Hall of Famer.
I love it. Hey, man, I would love him. Yeah. I would love him.
I think we could get Hicks off of a more reasonable contract.
Yeah.
I think Gio should get this coin phrased.
For the love of God. Yeah, that was awesome.
For the love of God, Howie. Dustin says Bryce Harper could be gone in 2 years at this rate.
Yeah.
Stop it.
It's the way that we run superstars out of town.
Marvin says Ben and Carson weren't built for this city.
100% agree. they were built for a room with soft walls.
Pussies.
Yo, Ev has no pause, no hesitation.
No fucks.
When I tell you that.
Imagine being imagine if Evan breaks up with you. You know, you one of your ex. You go straight to like you're dead to me.
I don't throw digs. I don't insult them. I don't do nothing. You're just dead to me. You're no longer a part of my life. You don't exist as far as I'm concerned.
That's it.
That's it. Wipe my hands clean of it. Yeah. I move forward.
That's it. Move on. Bye, bitch.
Yeah, man. I just feel like any last words before we get out of here?
I mean, I'm so amped up about what we were just talking about with the Ben Simmons coming to town tomorrow. Just you know, I want to just anybody that's going down there, let's not give him exactly what he wants. Let's make him hear it. Don't throw things at the man, because then he's going to have more evidence to collect his money. I don't want this guy seeing a dime. He quit on this team. Let him suffer financially. He's not going to, but you know, let him pay the fine. Go Sixers. Go Birds.
Yeah, I mean, uh-huh. His teammate nailed it. I mean, you're making $40 million a year. Yo, you got to learn how to sit there and take this shit. Mm-hmm. And the Sixers fans are not going to hesitate on giving it to him. You know, but I'm looking forward to seeing that game. Looking forward to the crowd reaction. Those guys are going to shine tomorrow night. So, you know, I mean, I can't wait for that Sixers game to happen. Mm-hmm. On a more serious note, just want to go ahead and give a shout out to my family. I didn't want to talk about this during the show or earlier, but lost my uncle earlier this afternoon. And
sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah, so I know I got a couple family members that are watching right now. I love you guys, man. And to, if I got some words for anybody out there, yo, give your loved ones a hug, man. Tomorrow's never promised. It's crazy. So, you know, it's definitely some news that you don't want to get, you know. So, Unc, I know you're looking up, you're looking, you know, down on us. We love you. We appreciate you. You serve the country. Can't be more thankful to have an uncle like you. You're going to be truly missed. To my family, let's get through this and, you know, love every single one of y'all.
Yeah, man, much love and support to you guys, man. It's never easy to lose loved ones, man. I know your family has, in the past couple of years, man, you guys have been going through it. But man, I hope you guys get through everything. People from the chat are chiming in.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. But like, you know, just thinking about what we've seen this week. Look for more news to drop. I think it's gonna be a crazy next couple weeks. Again, I'm looking forward to the Sixers game tomorrow, mm-hmm. and getting some booze off my chest.
Yeah, lots of booze. Yeah.
yeah, bro. I just can't imagine getting paid $40 million to do nothing.
Shit, you can pay me a bill. I'll sit there and take whatever you want. You can throw shit at me.
No, you can pay me $40 million to not work in my foul shot, bro. I already do that for free. I haven't worked in my foul shot in years.
Or pass the ball when you're literally under the damn.
So over under dropping
five
Ben Simmons memes tomorrow.
Oh, you. I'm gonna say
just that you.
I'm gonna say. I'm going to take the over.
Yeah, I'm taking the over too.
You're going to wake up, have a. I think everybody tomorrow should wake up and put out the. Remember that emoji he used to do, just a single emoji with smoke coming out of the nose. Everybody just wake up and post that tomorrow.
turn your notifications on tonight. Get ready for it, because Gail is going to let loose.
But I think I'm going to let loose. But for me, Ev and Prime, we'll see you guys in the next one. Look forward to more news, because there might be some breaking news. Stay tuned.
Yes, sir.
Fly, Eagles, fly. And-
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.